This is the national public broadcast of renowned W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim leader.
God has made this life that I am addressing now, it's a consciousness. It's the elevation of our moral life. The moral gets better and better. Better quality for the moral life. And when we accept that life, then we have an equality too. We have an equality that is good for us, equality with all good people. We are all equal, not in intellect. Some of us are superior, some inferior. But in this consciousness, we all can ascend to the highest position in the world of human consciousness, or the circle of human consciousness. We can ascend to the highest position. You don't have to be educated and formally educated in this world to do that. You only have to accept your good moral nature, respect it, and build upon it, and trust it. Trust your good moral nature, and you grow and grow and grow. And it is that growth that best situates us to grow in all other ways. We have this in the religion, and both religions. In fact, all three of the heavenly religions, we call them Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. In the story of Joseph was rejected by his brothers. His brothers tried to put him away from them, and they did. He ended up in Egypt. But the Pharaoh, the Egyptian leaders, they discovered in Joseph something that was priceless, his moral excellence. And they gave him a higher position over the storehouses. They trusted him to be over the storehouses. And Egypt at that time was the richest, most productive, the richest of all the nations. So everybody was coming to Egypt for help, and especially for food. So one day, Joseph's brothers came to Egypt for help. And they had forgot about him. He had to remind them that he was their brother. He didn't turn them down. They had sold him into slavery. Rejected him, lied to their father about his circumstances, his fate, what happened to him. It's just some animals. They say, here's his shirt. It's got animal blood on it. To make his father think that he was killed by some animals, devoured by animals. They had done all those things, but Joseph didn't reject them, refused to give them rations or food, supply their needs with the food. He gave them food. He asked about his brother Benjamin, and he gave them food. So here is a nation welcoming a moral person because of his moral excellence into the government in a high position, but he was trusted to be over the storehouses. Distribution of food or whatever, I guess. I think that has more meaning than just food. Much more meaning than just food. So that is to tell us that the most valuable achievement for a human person is moral excellence. And we know no matter how much education you have, and I'm not knocking education, because education really permits you to do all the wonderful things. But without the moral nature, you may create hell for yourself and hell for others. You may end up bringing your own life down. I've known people that have gone to school, received degrees, and just a little thing, troubled them, and they just fell down, couldn't stand up anymore. Became habitual drunk, lost their respect for life, for their own life. That can happen. But if your life, your moral life is saved, then everything else will be saved. Your moral life is saved, your intellect is saved. You're saved for your profession. You're saved for your work in this world. So ultimately, it is the moral factor that determines the fate of individuals, families, and the world. If we were having more quality moral life in our families would be in good condition. We wouldn't have so many families in the condition that they're in now, the pitiful state that they're in now. And so it is for individuals, so it is for communities. If we would purify our spirit and seek more quality for our moral life as a race, African Americans now, I'm talking about, as a people, African Americans, our communities would get a new life. Our communities would come into a new life. We would become productive. We think, well, this great production that the United States has is owing to our scientists and to our great industrialists, etc. No, it's owing to the excellence in this society that have opened up the minds of people, made them more respectful of things that do that should be given respect, and because of this higher appreciation of human life and many things that benefit human life, we have this great production. It's because of loyalty to higher principles, because of appreciation for human life and its excellence, that these industrialists and others are working to serve man, serve American citizens with a better environment, a better life. And when they don't care, they produce hell for themselves and for us. So those that care about human life, they give us environments that take burden off us and free us to have a virtual heaven almost on earth. And we can have that. I do believe that we can have a heaven on earth if we would just all agree in the life that is most important to us, and that is the spiritual life that God wants us to be one in, to be one people in, one accord, one people, in one spiritual life, a life of moral excellence. Again, I go back to the prophet, where God says that he has sent him to us to purify us and to lead us out of darkness into the light. So the darkness of ignorance, the darkness of moral corruption, into the light, into the light. But first, we must purify ourselves. This is no spooky exercise. It just means intending to be good, intending to be truthful, intending to be a decent human being, and working at it, and realizing that that life loss will cause you to lose everything eventually. The role of that spirituality is to have us appreciate the best moral standards of mankind. A people should be judged not by individuals, but by their collective performance. And as a people, we perform excellently. We perform very well. We have individuals that make trouble, sometimes groups, small groups that make trouble, but as a national body, we perform better, very well. That condition, that spirituality in us, I believe, is what have moved us to go against racism, and go against the mistreatment of the little fella, of the minority by the majority, until we have come to what we have now in this country, protection for minorities, minority rights, inclusion, and a dignity, a new dignity that we all have in this country as human beings. in spite of the culture that is wayward, astray from that purity that we should have. That's a test, and we want progress, and we don't have a test. We welcome challenges. The more the soul is challenged, the more the potential, the good potential in the soul is brought out. So I believe this is a testing ground, the land of opportunity and a land of challenge. I wouldn't change it myself. I wouldn't change a thing. It's good for us. I love it, you know. I love a challenge. In fact, if the devil wants to come in my house, he can live with me. I done got tough enough to go to sleep while he's in my house. And believe me, he might be in your house tonight. So we have to follow universal standards of decency. The words in Arabic is wa'mil bil ma'ruf. And guide your life, order your life by the highest known standards of mankind. So we should always aim for the best. And then we will grow in excellence, steadily in excellence, and not fall. To promote a sense of origin in the human being's excellence. We human beings evolved from inferior creatures, despicable creatures. This is told us too in Scripture. But the aim in the human nature, in the human life, is for excellence. Just like it is in everything else. The aim in matter is for excellence. That's why it has evolved to more and more excellence and beauty and order. So to identify in that original light, it's what promoting this spirituality will do. It will bring more of us to identify in that life and be comfortable with one another and care for each other as members of the same family, because that's what we are. All of us are members of one human family. The Muslims are members in the Muslim family. But the Muslims were not guided by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, to identify firstly as Muslims in the human family, Muslims in some particular religious sense. But he wanted us to identify as Muslims in the universal sense, that we are Muslims by nature, he said. Muslims by nature. We are born, every child is created a Muslim. So this Muslim has to be understood in two definitions. The first definition, the most important definition, is that to be Muslim is to be in your best condition as a human person created by God. Like a baby come here with no evil design on the world. The baby learns that from us. So if we are in our original nature that God gave us, before it is fallen by mistakes we made, we are in the true Muslim identity. Then we have the informed Muslim, the Muslim that's educated in the religion, with Quran and with the life of our Prophet, we are educated in the religion. Then we become learned Muslims, Muslims conscious of the disciplines, the revealed disciplines for Muslim life. But without the first condition, the other one will not stay good. It will also deteriorate and become a great trouble for us. And when you look at the world of Muslims and you see how we are so divided and how we are not pursuing human excellence, and in most of the Muslim world we are not pursuing human excellence, then you can understand why now, if you accept what I've just said. It is because we have lost the first life. The first life is excellent human life that God created for us. We've lost the first life, and we are in these bodies, and we are disconnected, not attached anymore to the lifeline that God really created that for us. this life, this spirituality, it influenced production more than anything else. If you want to produce materially, African-American people, African-American community, if you want to become a people producing materially, having businesses, flourishing business in your neighborhood, in your community, grow in moral excellence and grow an appreciation for the common human excellence that we find all over the world. All people have it. All people have it. And you will see that God will be with you, and your own good nature will be supporting you, and you'll become much more productive. This is not given for African-American people, but I can't help but mention that we are failing as a community. We fail our neighborhood. We leave our neighborhoods to others to supply our neighborhoods, the residents of the neighborhood, with everything. And we just go our own separate ways, not caring. We are satisfied just to have a residency somewhere, but we don't want responsibility to serve the residents. Other people are not like that. The Mexicans, I go through their neighborhood, I see so many businesses run by Mexicans. I see Mexican business life, Spanish business life, or Mexican business life. I see it alive. It's alive. It's alive. But when I come to my neighborhood, I can hardly find any sign that the business life of African-American people is alive. It seems to be dead. It's dead because we are not really in touch with our human excellence, and we are not building quality moral life. Thank you very much. Peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Imam Muhammad has agreed to entertain questions. If you have questions, we invite you to come to the microphone to your left, my right, and he will address them.
I need some help to hear the questions. If you stand, the sound carries better here. If they have a mic, please go to the mic with your question. I don't see one, but the mic is okay. Yes. The prophet, he said, help your brother whether he's in the wrong or in the right. And the question was asked, they said, how are we to help our brother when he's in the wrong? And the prophet said, help him by holding him back from wrong. You know? So we are one brotherhood. Muslims are one family. And it doesn't matter whether you're Pakistani or Egyptian or whatever. If you see your brothers having problems, serious problems with their life, and you can help them, then you should help them. And I'd rather be rejected by my brother than to pretend to not see his fault that's bringing him down and keeping him down. Alaykum as-salam.
Yes. Well, I can solve that right now. Yes, in scripture, food is food for the body and also food for the mind. Food for the body and food for the mind. So that's what it
should be. Joseph was not only given food for the body, for the material body is our flesh, but given food also, he put in position also to give food for the mind. That is to teach and expand the mind of the people, to assist the mind of the people so that they grow wiser, more intelligently, and become more productive. So the more important understanding, I think, would be that Joseph became, that the Egyptians put him in charge of the storehouse, meaning that he was in charge of assisting people with their mental needs.
Yeah. beings evolve from simple creatures? You said it's kind of a conscription. What do you mean by that?
Is it
wrong?
First, to the evolution of man, the evolution of man. Man, in the beginning of his rise as a life form, was much like animal. Man did not have a human intelligence. He had a human body, but he had to grow into human intelligence. From an animal, he became a man, a human being. And some of us are animals right now. You know, that's the evidence of that is still around. I didn't quite hear. Yes. There are several references. You evolved from a fluid disguise. You evolved from a fluid disguise. This is the Quran. A fluid disguise. If something is despised, it's despicable, at least in the opinion of the one that's despising it. Yes. There are other references to the inferior beginning of human life. We begin from inferiority and we grow in excellence. But we begin as inferior creatures. This is science and this is religion, both. Most often. Alaykum as-salam. Alhamdulillah. What's the most important for a model of Muslim life in society? What's most important for it is that the people be community-minded. Muslims are a community. That's what God says of us in the Quran. We are a community. And we are to think community. We're not to think individualism. We don't support individualism. That's most important. We have to have a spirit for community life. We want to see community life, family life, community life grow better and better, better and better. And we have to understand that everything comes out of the ground, out of the earth. Human life evolved on the earth. Our needs are in the earth. As Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, we need land. The land provides us with food, clothing, shelter, and a place to have our family, our order, our family and our community. So land is much very important. So we shouldn't go after money for money's sake, but we should want to become good business people. A community has to have strong business. If you don't have strong business life, you don't have much of a community at all. And we don't want to be begging, depending on others, for what others are providing to themselves or for themselves. Muhammad the Prophet said, the hand that is given is better than the hand that's begging. The hand that is giving is better than the hand that's begging, or higher above the hand that's begging. This is what Muhammad the Prophet said. You know, we are obligated to give in charity to the beggars, to the poor, to those who ask for them. But Muhammad didn't, peace and blessings be on him. He didn't leave us to think that the person in that state, in that condition, to think that that's an honorable life. No, that's not an honorable life, begging. The Prophet wants to see us all producing, having income, lawful income, producing, not begging. And we have to have communities that are not looking for other communities to give us money or to donate to us to develop it. No, we don't want any charity to develop our community. We want to develop our community with our own ingenuity, industry and intelligence. We want to develop our communities. So the first thing, see our needs, and to see our honor. God says that he has created every human being with honor. He has made us noble creatures, honorable creatures. But we have to awaken to that nobility and respect it. And the first thing we should do is not accept that others produce in their neighborhoods and reproduce nothing, just live in our neighborhoods. You should want to have a mosque. But having a place to pray is not... Muhammad the Prophet didn't build extensive mosques. The mosques were very simple buildings for the believers to pray in. Didn't waste a lot of money like they came to do later, putting gold all up in the ceilings and everywhere, and the masses, the majority of the people all around, everywhere in the city, poor and begging, and gold all up in the ceilings and everywhere, inside as decoration. Muhammad the Prophet didn't start that. He didn't do that. So we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't put a lot of money in building a place for us to do nothing but pray, come there and pray, and not put money in the building so we can have an elementary school, a preschool, an elementary school, to give Muslim children good life and good education and good environment for their learning. We should put that first. We can pray on the ground outside of the school. But it's easy to have just a little space in the school, isn't it? Build a school building and have a room in the school to make prayers. And if you're so hung up on having a Eastern-style mosque built, then make the school look like Islam. Put a minaret on the corner of the school. First thing first. Take care of the most important things first. And we know education is sacred for Muslims. To get an education is a sacred duty for all Muslims. So I've said a little bit on that, and there's much more I'd like to say. But eventually, we'd like to have place for social activities, for weddings, for childbirth, celebrate childbirth, for banquets, to socialize. We have to like to have some place for our youngsters to enjoy themselves, skating, games, etc., tennis, and all that. We should think of these things that help life, these things that help make life good, healthy, and pleasant, and not leave out any of those things that are necessary for a healthy and pleasant life for our youngsters and also for our senior citizens. We need to give them an environment that will be good. So we have to have a model to do it. I don't have to do it for you. I'm not the one to do it alone. I have ideas and some knowledge and some skills too. I'm a welder. I can do a lot of welding for you if you need me. Or call me. I'll come to your city so I can find some time. You can't pay me. You won't be able to pay me. I'll tell you that right now. Because you all have blessed me to get in position. I make big money. Big responsibilities too. The more money I get, the more responsibilities I accept. I do a lot with my money. I do a lot of good with my money. But my salary would have to be like $1,000 an hour. You can't pay me that. But I would love to well. I just might come and weld for nothing. That's what I'd like to do. Come and do some welding for nothing. I'm a combination welder, very good welder. I work for big companies. Bethlehem Steel, got my first job with them, Bethlehem Steel. And I started in a small job shop that gave me a lot of good experience. I was trained to do all phases of welding. And I like that. You can tell the way I'm mentioning it to you that I like it. A man, real masculinity, loves to do man's work, you know? It requires man work. You enjoy your man nature, your man's nature when you're doing a man's job. I like to do a man's job. Okay, the next question. Yes, we have another question. Yes. Alaykum as-salam.
I come out of the claim by North Carolina, and I would like to, first of all, thank you for your entire service.
Thank you.
My question is,
Yes, in the Quran, God shows us, gives us a parable, and the parable goes like this: says, you see a town with its buildings neglected, the roof caving in, and that town is renewed